And this is, you cleared your throat while I was introducing the show.
Well, look at me next time.
Is that impolite or what?
Wave!
Oh, wave. Speaking of waves, I that's an old joke. But,
I think I know the punchline.
I think you do.
What's your name?
I think you do.
John, leave it alone.
I'm Phil Parr, and welcome to Blind Like Me. We are visiting still, as we were last week, with John and Larry Gassman from, I can't remember the town.
California, from Orange County.
Orange County, California.
My God, the week went by quick.
Boy, it did. Those weeks are just like that. When you get old,
yep.
Those weeks just zoom
right,
right by. All right, let me stop my watch here and clear it and start it again. All right, we were talking at the end of our last week about the Marriott, and you say there are 25 blind people or more working in the call center there.
The call center, yeah. We've got, I think, 22 blind people and another four or five with Magic, and then we've got, I think, eight other centers that are employing blind people. So all in all, and I don't know exactly how many, there must be 40 to 45 blind people being employed through Marriott International all over the world.
And they, how many, at your center, the place where you work, how many sighted people are there?
I think they're probably, I think there's about 200 to 250 altogether. So what's that? About, probably, there's close to 200 sighted people. So we're maybe 10%.
Maybe 10%.
Okay. If that, of the people who, of the total amount of people who were there.
Now I got my watch. I was working with a watch. That's a tremendous percentage. I mean, what other industry could we say? What other office could we say that hires sighted people to do exactly the same thing you do, and we assume pays you exactly the same salary they pay a sighted person?
Absolutely.
That has 10% blind people working there. Nowhere.
Yeah,
I know.
No,
I said the other day, I know lighthouses that don't have 10% blind people.
Mm-hmm.
They're all sighted, living off that 501c3.
And it's amazing too. You know, when you stop to think about it, because I now, since I'm not on the phones all the time, because most of my work is working with the software, I have a chance to walk around because I do tech support for our blind people as well. If they run into trouble, I help them with JAWS as it relates to our reservation system. And I kind of have a chance to watch the sighted people interact with blind people, and for the most part, they do fine. It's no longer, oh my God, I'm a sighted person, and I'm going to have to talk. I'm going to have to pass this blind person in the hall. What do I do? They, number one, they've had training as well before when they're hired. You know, you treat them like you treat anybody else, and so all of our sighted people get along really, really well with the blind people who are here because they treat them like normal people.
But to work there, you have to be intelligent. You have to have good people skills.
You do.
You have to have the ability, as you said last week, to hear, to do four things at once. So you can't be adult, or you've got to be sharp.
Yeah.
To do this job. But then sighted people have to be the same thing.
They do. And, you know, and this job isn't for every single blind person.
No.
There have been blind people who have come along who have not made it through the system because it does take a lot. I mean, it is multitasking at its best. It really is. And some people, sighted people and or blind, just aren't cut out for that.
It's a stress job.
It really is. It would be most interesting to see how many blind people versus sighted people didn't make it, because there's lots of sighted people that don't make it, that also couldn't do it, because they would be multitasking also. They would be looking up something on the computer,
mm-hmm.
and trying to keep you comforted and you happy, and talking on the phone while looking up something. So they would be more or less multitasking the same.
I think, I don't think we've lost, if you don't count training, because there's some people who didn't make it through training, but I don't think, out of the 3 years I've been there, we may have lost over the course of years maybe four or five blind people who are doing other jobs now and elected to go somewhere else and do other jobs. But we haven't lost that many, and we found that our blind people are among the better agents at the center. There's a number of reasons for this. I mean, probably first and foremost is we know how tough it is to find a job.
Yes.
And we know that even though we may not feel like it one day, we're going to go to work whether we like it or not, because we know how tough it is, and we know that, that you know, you got to keep going to work to bring the money in to feed the families, etc. And so our blind people are pretty punctual. We have a few that aren't, but the bulk of them are very punctual. They go to work, they do their jobs, and they're usually very, very good at it.
We're lucky that both Marriott and Disney are the kind of companies that seek out to give people a chance, and they're very much in favor of doing this kind of thing, and they'll work with you until you've proven to them that you just can't do it, to make it work.
And all right, I want to get into Disney in just a second, but think how many call centers around the nation there are doing what you... Because now you make, you know, Amtrak, Sears, Best... Everybody, you can buy everything on the phone. And if this works, and obviously it does, how many opportunities this will open up for blind people?
If the companies have the forethought to be able to make it work, and maybe they don't know how it's going to work at first, but at least if they have the foresight to say, well, whatever it takes, we're going to make it work, then it's going to work because there's enough resources around.
Okay, well, Disney did, and let's talk about that a minute.
Yeah. Because they came over and they said, what do you guys do? And we talked about JAWS because JAWS works best for us. Probably WindowEyes would work probably for some people, but they picked JAWS.
I think it would.
Yeah. Yeah. So they said, how do you do it? What do you do? And we told them basically what works for us. And we said, now, some of this may work for you. Other things based on the way you're set up may not work for you. But here's what we do. So, you know, take whatever you want out of this and forget what you would like and, you know, good luck. And maybe, 6 to 8 months later, probably they decided that they were going to have a class of blind people.
Actually, it was just me and one other guy who is partially sighted. And we were in with 10 other sighted people in the class.
Uh-huh.
And so literally the instructors verbalized everything. I think there was one time when I had to say, okay, now what did you mean by that? Other than that, they verbalized everything. And they had a trainer sitting next to me in case I had a question or in case we had to go over something while the class was going on.
Okay, I'll bet you they had charts up on the wall and stuff.
They did. They were flip-top charts.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, that's fine, as long as they verbalize it.
We don't want to deny sighted people their medium.
Yep.
But you had to go in and put JAWS on their computers so that you could train.
Yeah, and not only that, it's a Windows XP computer, but the in-house software that Disney uses is a software that is used in hotels. They use it in Vegas, and it's a DOS-based software.
Oh.
So that also meant that they had to bring in somebody who was familiar with scripting JAWS, and they had him working with one of their computer people who was just a genius, and they literally scripted from the ground up the LMS software, which I then had to learn. Then I had to learn all the keystrokes that they put on there with JAWS. Then I also had to learn the various Disney products that I was needed to discuss with guests. So it was a huge learning curve over the course of about 6 weeks. And I finally began to apply everything, and that was the end result. And so it was a tough road, but it really worked.
We talked with a fellow one time who thinks that maybe while DOS is an archaic sort of a system, it is usable in that it can be, you can come from that in program, whereas if you have a piece of software that you can't change any of the parameters or anything, maybe you're worse off than having. We know a lady who works for Home Depot. That and they're using DOS, and so she's adapted her computer to that. And we talked to a fellow who seemed to think that was good. That when you get into Windows, that things that you can't change on Windows, you may be in more trouble than you would be to stay with DOS.
Yeah, I think we've got both of those things to deal with because I have to alt tab over to Internet Explorer in order to look up stuff. See, they've got all their material on the web.
They couldn't fix your hotkey to do that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I can go over. I can use the hotkeys that I would normally use for Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
But I have to alt tab back and forth between the software that we use on the phones.
Okay.
Then go over when I want to look something up.
Okay.
To web pages where they have everything, literally all the information, all the updating that they do. We update through email as well. I use Outlook on the email. So
yeah.
I've got to use Windows and DOS together actually to make it work.
Okay. But how would that be displayed for a sighted person all on one page or what? Or do you know?
The various information?
Yeah, that you have to alt-tab back and forth between. Would all that information be right there?
It would be on several screens, which they would use with a mouse to click on.
So they would just click on it?
Right, and they'd have several screens open at a time.
We don't encourage mouse. We encourage keystrokes, and they can go from screen to screen.
With just the movement of their wrist.
With keystrokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we can, too. The blind people and the people who use keystrokes are faster than the people who use mouse.
Really?
Yeah.
So yeah. Alt-tabbing is just as fast.
Oh yeah, although we don't alt-tab necessarily in our reservation system because everything's there in various windows and on various screens. So with keystrokes, we can get to the various screens and go back and forth. Pretty quickly.
Okay. Your brother said they were all tabbing between
applications.
Applications.
Yeah, John is because he's got to go to the internet to look up stuff.
Okay.
See, we don't. All of our stuff is encapsulated in our reservation system, so we don't have to go to the internet. Now, from time to time, it will take us there through a keystroke to a server. But we don't necessarily have to go to the internet. It's automatically, if it's going to be done, it'll be done for us automatically with a keystroke.
Okay, so you're both talking to the public.
Yes.
To a guy walked up to your counter, basically, and said,
no.
Hey, how you doing? I need to do this.
No, everybody who calls
right.
in is calling on the telephone.
That's what he means.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Yeah. But
everybody walked up to
counter.
your counter and said, hey, I need to do this. Can you help me?
Absolutely. And
okay.
With the information that we have available to us, you know, a lot of it's listening skills. A lot of it's, okay, that you want to go to this city and what state, when do you need to be there?
Yeah.
That's easy. The problem is when somebody says, I'm going to be on I-95 and I need to find a hotel. Okay, well, where on I-95 do you need to be? Well, I'm not really sure, because I don't know the cities very well. That's a little tougher, but...
Well, Sam, they don't know that you're not anywhere near where they are. They have no idea that you're in a call center.
Well, yeah, but sometimes I'll tell them that, and I'll say, if you can give me a city, I can find you. And sometimes I'll tell them that, because, you know, you've got to at least... Based on what he tells you, then you got to find them something.
But I mean, when they initially call in, a lot of people think I'm at the hotel.
Right.
Okay, but now at Disney, we're there are only what three or four Disneys. There's Disney in Florida and Disney in California.
And what are you working for, John? Are you just doing the three hotels in California?
The three hotels, and I'm also answering questions about the resort, the two theme parks, and downtown Disney. Florida actually handles all of their stuff, and I think they also handle the cruise line as well.
Okay, so you're handling Disney California,
right.
Disneyland,
and
as
California
opposed
Adventure.
To Disney World, right?
Right. I'm not doing Disney World
and,
at all.
And so they have three hotels.
Right.
And so you're making reservations for people at those hotels and also booking their tickets for... Because you can make the reservations, and as you
right.
well know,
the
make
park.
The reservations for the hotel and the park. You can do it all in one thing. I
yes.
mean, you can pay for it all in one
right.
MasterCard.
Yep, which is not charged until you get here, and we got a 72-hour cancellation policy. So
don't do the spiel.
Oh,
I just kind of went right
I
in.
It.
I know you.
Yeah. I love it.
You know what?
72 hours.
you will really know you have arrived when you're at home sometime with Chris. And somebody calls you and you say, Disney reservations. I said, John, may I help you?
I haven't gotten that
I have.
Yeah.
Have you? I did it once. I said, Marriott, this is... I got about that far and I said, God, what am I doing?
I know.
Oh, it was weird, too. And they knew exactly what I'd done because whoever it was, and I can't remember who it was now, they knew I worked for Marriott and they started laughing. Might have been a coworker. I can't remember now. Might have been.
I was working radio with a guy one time. We were sitting in the control room running a football game. And Kern Tipp said, "This is the Humble Football Network." And the guy opened the mic and went, "KPSO, foul furious." Closed the mic and we were at another station.
It happens.
Sure it happens.
It happens.
Yeah, so all you're doing is taking reservations for those hotels and giving people information about... So this is different... You have voices are so alike, I can't distinguish, but this is different from doing the Marriott thing.
Yeah, because Marriott is international. We have several different desks, because we have the international desk and we also have the regional desk. And I began working for Marriott International. I would make hotel room reservations for people who wanted to go to hotels, and we had like 2,500 hotels around the world. Now, whenever I do this, I do it for regional, pretty much just for California, Nevada, California, Nevada, Southern California, Nevada.
Uh-huh.
However, I will take overflow, from international. In other words, if something comes up where they need a call, but yeah, I'll talk to people who are going all over the world, and it is kind of fun to talk to them, and to kind of get familiar with some of those hotels that are in other countries around the world.
Well,
we don't do packages. We will be able to sell them packages that have to do with hotel rooms. But we don't do just a package that is not a part of a hotel room.
In other words, to buy a package, you can't. I couldn't stay at a Holiday Inn and buy a package from you.
No, you'd have to stay at a Marriott, and it would have to be part of the room. Maybe like an adventure package where you would get breakfast for two and tickets to a movie or something like that. That would be part of it, but I wouldn't be able to sell you a package that didn't have a room attached.
All right.
That's what we do.
We've been to Disney twice done everything there. I guess everything there. You never would do everything there is to do in Florida.
No.
But it was great fun, and I discovered my love for sushi.
Uh-huh.
Through Disney, so I can credit the mouse for that. And well, this seems like to me we're maybe on the cutting edge of something, because there are thousands of call centers throughout this country and throughout the world that could employ, and if we've got Disney and Marriott. Those are, of course, two big names, and they're employing blind people. That's where my CD ran out there. Isn't that amazing? Anyway, the Gaspins are both working in phone call centers, and it looks like this is going to be a good employment opportunity for blind people. Someone somewhere will, I'm sure, set up a center to train blind people to do this kind of work. You would certainly think so, wouldn't you? Looks like it's going to be a good source of employment for blind people. Well, all right, we'll continue with our Blind Like Me show. We have an interview with a lady named Jane Jordan that we're going to do in just a few minutes. So stay tuned. More of Blind Like Me coming up.
Librarian of Congress recently issued a ruling a few weeks ago supporting the right of people who are blind or visually impaired to gain full access to electronic books or e-books. The ruling provides an exemption to the 1998 Digital Millennium Copyright Act, making it illegal to circumvent any encrypted or protected features that render the text inaccessible for the specialized computer technologies used by people who are blind or visually impaired to read electronic text. This recent ruling upholds the fundamental right to read for all people. The emerging electronic book technologies have had the potential to make published information more accessible and usable to people who are blind or visually impaired. By removing barriers to utilizing e-books, the library ensured all people can continue to enjoy the benefits of progress. This ruling is a result of concerted advocacy effort by AFB to bring this issue to the attention of the Librarian of Congress. AFB originally requested the exemption in December 2002, later provided testimony and evidence to show that approximately 50% of currently published e-books are inaccessible for people who are blind and visually impaired. This is a major victory, but there is more work to do. AFB will continue to work with Congress, the librarian, and publishers to ensure future titles are fully accessible for people who are visually impaired or blind, said President of the American Federation of the Blind. For more information on this topic, visit the web at afb.libraryofcongress. On the Blind Side, I'm Mark Christie.
On the Blind Side, celebrating the contribution of blind people to societal evolution.
Welcome to another edition of the show that we call for a better title, Blind Like Me. If anyone has a better name for it, well, they can send it to us, I suppose. My name is Phil Parr, and we're on every week, and our mission is to explore the lives of blind people and to show people who have recently gone blind, or people maybe that have been blind and are in their teenage years and are wondering, what the heck am I going to do with my life? Can I survive as a blind person? Our mission is to show other people that don't know this that it can be done, that it is an inconvenience, but it is a doable deal. And our guest today is a lady named Jane Jordan. Jane, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm well myself. And you're in what part of Tennessee are you?
I'm in Cookeville.
Cookeville?
Cookeville.
Cookeville, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Now, is that close to anything we'd recognize?
Sort of between Nashville and Knoxville.
Between Nashville and Knoxville. So you're in the eastern end of the state.
Actually sort of near the middle.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And were you born there, or is this a new home for you, or how long?
No, I moved here in 1997.
Moved here in 97. Well, let's get back and start kind of at the beginning. What is your visual acuity? How well do you see?
I can see light, and I can see it when it's dark.
You can see light, you can tell when it's dark, and if you walk into a room, you can tell them whether the light's on or off, right?
Right.
Well, that
sometimes
helps.
Sometimes I can tell if it's cloudy.
That helps some, doesn't it?
It does some, actually, yeah.
That would be better than nothing.
Yeah.
Be better than no sight at all, I would think, because you'd actually be able to discern some things. Maybe, can you look at it? Do you have enough perception to look at an appliance that would have a light on it and tell whether it's on or off or not?
I can tell when the computer monitor is on, but That's
about it. As far as it goes, huh?
Yeah.
So you're basically without sight. You use a cane to travel, or how do you have a dog, or what?
I use a cane.
You use a cane.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to you? How did you lose your eyesight? Were you born like this, or what?
I was born 3 months early, and
yeah.
I was put in an incubator for 6 and a half, and I got a lot of oxygen to my brain.
Yeah.
Screwed up my optic nerves.
You know, that's the story that you hear from a lot of blind people. Wonder how that happens, or wonder. Looks like that would be a preventable something. I guess they didn't realize it was that much oxygen, or didn't some. You know, because you hear that story. I heard that story already once today about. I guess it's just something that happens in hospitals, isn't it?
So, I don't know. It's something they can't really predict because
yeah.
I mean, you'll have one kid that like a pair of twins, and one will turn out just fine,
mm-hmm.
and another will be blind. So it's really hard to say.
Yeah.
I don't know what really caused it.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I do. They're all younger than me.
So you're the oldest?
Yes, I am.
So you're the oldest of how many?
Four.
The oldest of four. And you were born where, in what part of the country?
I was born in Portsmouth, Virginia.
In Virginia. And your parents, did they take you around and try to do something about your eyes, or just accept it, or what? What did they do?
When I was two, doctors did an experimental laser surgery.
Uh-huh.
They tell me that's what gives me my light perception now. It was supposed to give me full sight, but it didn't, which obviously doesn't bother me. And I feel like that's all my life.
And so that's the only thing that they ever did to you. But thank God they did that. I mean, because light perception is something. If you know, I don't know what light is because I've never seen it. So I don't have it. I have no concept of light.
It's hard to describe.
I guess it would be to someone who had never seen it. So as a child, did you feel like, I mean, did they let you run and ramble and kind of do what the other kids did, or did they hold you back, or how did they treat you when you were little Jane?
Oh, I was a rambunctious little kid.
You were what now?
I was a rambunctious little kid.
Just a rambunctious?
I got into all sorts of trouble, yeah.
You did?
From the time I was three.
From the time you were three?
Yeah.
You got into all sorts of trouble.
Little things, like when I was three, I would take my little horse up the steps and ride it all the way down and out the door and...
And you thought nothing of doing that, eh?
No. When
that
I was four, I hid from my mom in the mall under a table.
I
could hear her.
You can hear her yelling.
See me.
Jane! You can hear mom yelling, trying to find you.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And then, of course, when I was six, I got a bike, and I learned about skating. And let's see, I learned about swimming when I was, what, 8 or 9 or something like that.
Uh-huh. So, but when you were little, you were kind of a mischievous, mischievous sort of a child. Even though you were blind, and you were still hiding. You knew that your mother couldn't see you under the clothes rack or in among the dresses or whatever, and so she'd have to look for you.
And
you thought that was just as funny.
It was.
I guess it was. Sighted kids do that. Why shouldn't blind kids do it? There's no reason at all why they shouldn't.
No, there isn't.
So they treated you, your parents, fairly normal, like they treated your other three siblings.
They tried to, yeah.
Yeah, they did their best. Now, it's you've grown to age five, little mischievous Jane, and it's time to go to school. What decision did they make then? What did they think about school for you?
Well, let's see. I started at a place called the DAC Center, when I went to preschool, I think I was three when I started going there. It's a school for kids with special needs.
Yeah.
Not just blind kids, but kids with walkers and kids that had trouble hearing.
Uh-huh.
So I went there for a couple years. I didn't start kindergarten until I was six. And I went to a public elementary school. I went to John Tyler Elementary.
Now, this preschool, this pre-thing that you did for kids with special needs, did they begin teaching you Braille there? Did they...
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I mean, they taught me, like, you know what tracking is? When you have to move your hand across the page?
Yeah.
To keep on a line. They taught me how to do that.
Uh-huh.
And then they started teaching me, like, letters when I was six.
So they started teaching you Braille.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to this, and then it's at age six you went to just a regular public school or what?
Yes, I did. It was a regular school.
Okay. But did you have a special teacher that would come and help you with Braille?
Yes, I did. I must have had her for a few hours every day.
And she would come and teach you Braille.
Mm-hmm. She'd teach me Braille. She'd teach me shapes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, circles and squares. And
so that you could kind of keep up with the other kids.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's what she would do.
And you learned Braille. Are you a Braille reader? Did you learn it well? Do you like it? Do you
love Braille?
You
love
do.
It. Will not do. I will listen to magazines on tape when I need to.
Yeah.
But I prefer to read Braille.
You prefer to read them Braille. So somebody taught you Braille well.
Oh yeah, I didn't. I really caught on when I was eight. I was struggling until about age eight, uh-huh. And then all of a sudden it clicked.
All of a sudden, you got it.
Yeah.
You got even up to grade three Braille. Grade all the contractions and all. That's what got me.
I haven't learned grade three.
You haven't learned grade three?
No.
But you can get magazines in grade two, so you could read like Reader's Digest or something?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Now
what? You get Reader's Digest now?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were the only blind child in the first grade?
No.
No.
There was one other totally blind person and a couple of partials.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. They bussed all the blind kids to the same school.
They bussed them all to the same school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's probably good because there was the special ed, special needs teacher, special teacher that could teach you Braille rather than having that teacher run all over town.
Right.
Why not send them all to the same school? But the other kids in school were sighted kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and when you took recess, what did you, blind kids, did you all hang together as a group, or did you go play with...
No, because while we were all both at the same school, we were in different classes.
Yeah.
So I had to hang out with the sighted kids.
Had to hang out with those darn sighted
yeah.
kids.
But sometimes it got to be so boring.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing that you that they sent you to
oh, yeah.
to public
yeah.
school. You know, they institutionalized so many of us when we were young that... And I just feel like it's better. You need to know some blind people, but you also, you know, it's a sighted world we live in. And
well, now, when I was eight, I had gone halfway through my fourth grade year. Then they did send me to the blind school.
They sent you to a boarding school for the blind?
Uh-huh.
Why did they decide to do that?
Because by this time I had been through two different schools. See, after kindergarten, I went to James Hurst Elementary for
uh-huh.
2 years. And then I went to a private school for a year because my grades weren't doing that good at James Hurst. And I thought I'd do better in private school.
Why? It's because you were hiding from the teacher and stuff. It's because you were
being
mischievous Jane. Was that your deal? Is that why your grades were suffering? Because you were always into some sort of little trouble or some kind? Is that?
No, I just got bored.
You just got bored?
I got bored trying to figure out the work.
Oh.
Like, so I wouldn't do it.
So you just didn't do it.
Yeah.
So they sent you to the private school, and you didn't do any better there.
No, I did worse.
Did worse.
They would send me all the intern teachers, the ones that were learning about special ed.
Uh-huh.
They'd send them all to me. And so I never really had consistency, which,
mm-hmm.
just as I learned one teacher's methods of, like, doing math with the abacus.
Yeah.
Or doing addition or whatever on the Braille writer, I'd have to learn somebody else's.
Well, I'll bet you would have worked a little harder if you'd known they were going to send you off to a boarding school, little Jane, now, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Or did you like the boarding school?
I didn't.
The school for the blind,
I did not like it.
This was not in your hometown, and it was far from Mom and Daddy, and it was far from having... relations with your being with your brothers and being with, of course, I guess there weren't any other kids then. You were the oldest.
Yeah, but, well, there were kids. I mean, the others were born by then.
So, and you were far from all that, and
I was about an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
And I'd stay there for the week, and it wasn't just that; it was just the fact that the teachers there and the other students didn't really. It was pretty abusive.
Pretty abusive.
Yeah.
In that they spanked you, or they...
Some physical abuse, yeah.
Really?
Some verbal abuse. Like telling me I was extremely stupid and among other things.
You were 8 years old and they told you you were stupid?
About nine.
And they told you you were stupid?
Well, some of them. The kids...
Well, where are those people today? I'm going to go kick their... you know.
The sighted kids... Not sighted, but the Potterswolves didn't like me because... Like, and most things I was pretty smart by then. Like, I could read really well and I could spell.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, but I was really slow in math. So, like, they liked the fact that I couldn't do that. It gave them something to gloat about because they were all better at it than me.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the teachers would just turn a blind eye or...
Yeah, turn a blind eye, I think is a good expression.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll go with that one, turn a blind
yeah.
eye.
That's, you know, so I was there for 2.5 years.
But you got to go home on weekends?
Yeah.
So
one time they tried to keep me there during the week or on a weekend, and I said, no, I'm not doing that again.
So
I'm going home.
They would come and get you. So that eased the pain a little bit because at least you got to go and be with your family on weekends, right?
It did, and it didn't.
Yeah.
Because while I'd been away, things changed.
Yeah.
You know, I was hanging out with different kids then, and I wasn't always very nice when I went home. I would... act out what I saw others doing at school.
Yeah. So you made childhood rough on yourself in a lot of ways, didn't you?
In
a lot of ways you did. But this boarding school, they had a building with the classrooms in it, and then they had dormitories. I guess this was the school for the blind in what state?
Hampton, Virginia.
Hampton, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
The Virginia School for the Blind, and it's no different than any of the rest of them. They're all...
pretty much. You have the deaf in one... The deaf school in one building, the blind school in a couple other buildings, a few dorms for the boys, the girls, and the multi-handicapped kids.
Uh-huh.
And, let's see, cafeteria. and a couple other buildings. I don't even know what they were for.
And you hated it?
I didn't like it there at all. Mm-mm.
2.5 years you lasted, if that's cool.
Yeah.
Then what did they decide? So by now you're 9, 10 years old. What did
No,
they...
by then I was, pardon, by then I was, let's see, I went when I was I turned nine now. Must have been 12.
You were already age 12. All right, I tell you what, let's do. Let's take just a short break, and we'll see if we can get you up to junior high and high school and get through school. We're visiting with Jane Jordan back in just a second. Website our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now with this week's Blindsight, here's Don Shaw.
I want to talk about kind of a handy website today. Every once in a while I hear a phone number on television or somewhere and I'll just be curious or need to know kind of where, what part of the United States or Canada that this number is in. If you have the area code to go along with the number, now you can find out what city, what state, and what phone company the number is registered with, which could be some good info from time to time. Basically, the way it works is you go to this site, you tab around, you put in the area code and the first 3 digits of the phone number, or you can do area code only if you just have an area code and you need to find out about that. The area code in it will give you the location. If you want to take a look at all this, go to www.primeris.com/FONEFIND. I'll give them a screen reader friendliness rating of an 8. Go and have a look at it. It's kind of a neat site. Until next time, I'm Don Shaw. Keep on blind sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sights.
Our guest on Blind Like Me today is Jane Jordan, who is in Tennessee, and we've gotten her up to about age 12, and she's done her stint at the blind school, which every blind person should have to do, to figure out what the real world is all about, and she hated it. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Couldn't stand it. So what did they decide? You complained enough, your parents finally decided, well, we got to get her out of here. What are we going to do with this little mischievous Jane?
Well, they sent me then to a public junior high and high school,
mm-hmm.
and I did somewhat better there. I worked harder. Well, I admit, let's see.
Well, you'd learned your lesson. If you don't, I had, yeah. We'll send you to the blind school.
I wasn't perfect, but I was getting better anyhow.
We'll send you to the blind school, little girl, that's what we'll do to you.
I'll tell you this,
I would have been a real scholar if they had known they were going to send me off to blind school. I hated every minute of it, just like you did.
Actually, I wasn't really a scholar until I started taking Spanish in 8th grade. Then I dove into it.
You liked that?
I love it, yeah.
Spanish.
Pretty language.
And you speak Spanish fluently?
Yep.
Well, that's
for the census a couple years ago.
That's amazing for someone who is not, I guess, you're not around a lot of people who speak Spanish. Were you as a child?
No, I just liked it. I used to watch Sesame Street, and I went with my dad when he took his exams, and I thought it was pretty, and I thought, wow, I'd like to learn that.
And in the 8th grade, they offered it, and so that they finally found something you were interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So you were plenty smart, you just weren't, you didn't want to learn what they wanted you to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
Spanish became your thing that you enjoyed the most.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is in back in the public school.
Yeah, I was back in the public school by this time.
Okay, and you did your middle school and your high school at this one school?
I went to Western Rice Junior High for the middle school and then Western Rice High School for high school.
For high school, and how'd you do in high school?
Could have done better, but I didn't do really bad.
B's. B's and C's, right?
C's maybe.
B's maybe? Well, that's good enough, isn't it?
I think so.
That got you through. But you excelled at Spanish, so you took it from the eighth through your senior year.
Oh, yes.
And learned to really learn to communicate well in Spanish.
Yes, I did. I loved it.
You know, of course, we are in Texas, and in the year 2020, our state will have more Latinos than we do Anglos.
You know, that wouldn't surprise me.
Well, no, that supposedly is true if the population keeps changing like it is.
Oh, my goodness.
So I guess it would be time for me to probably think about learning.
At least a little.
A little Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about it. My wife and I have talked several times about doing it. It's just one of those things you think about doing that we haven't done yet. But you speak it fluently. Are you able to use that in any way?
Well, like I said, in 2000 I worked for the census. I was the only Spanish-speaking census person for my county and all the surrounding ones. So people would come and pick me up and take me to these houses that they had to, where they had to talk to people, and I'd translate for them.
And I guess they paid you to do that.
Oh, they did.
Okay.
They did.
All right, and you walked across the stage and with your diploma in your hand.
Mm-hmm, I did.
And this was what year? This was
1994.
1994. So you're just a young person.
Yeah.
So they had inclusion when you were, I mean, we were talking about the 80s, and so they were very big on including blind children in public schools, so it was no problem. And in your high school, did you have any other blind folks there?
A couple partials.
So other than your experience at the blind school, you hadn't been around that many blind people.
No, not really.
All right, you got out of school in 94. What did we decide to do there? What was your game plan?
Well, I ended up going to the Vocational Rehabilitation Center in Richmond, Virginia. It was supposed to be for 2 weeks to see if I was ready for college.
Uh-huh.
And it turned into a year.
Because they had up until now, they had not taught you cane travel, or they had...
Oh, they taught me cane travel, but like cleaning and cooking and computer skills.
Oh, okay. Computer,
I hadn't learned any of that. So I had to learn a lot of that.
Yeah, computer skills, which are very important these days.
The only time I had seen or worked with a computer was when I worked with an Apple IIe a couple times.
Which, though, that was a long time ago in their old... Yeah, they don't even. I mean, they're not. They weren't much of a computer compared to today's today's standards.
So I had to learn about computers, and that took a while.
And this was a. They had just blind children there, or they had other all types of handicapped children.
This was for blind people, not just kids.
And you ended up staying how long?
A year.
You ended up staying a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good experience for you. You enjoyed that.
Parts of it. Parts that I like, parts that I didn't.
Parts that you like.
Not anywhere.
Well, that's the way life is. Some of it you like, some of it you don't, you know?
Yeah.
That's the way things are. So, did you decide to go to college?
I did, but for the wrong reasons.
For all the wrong reasons. All right, tell me the wrong reasons.
My mother and father really wanted me to go, and... The only thing I really wanted to do was focus on Spanish. I didn't really care about math or English or anything like that.
Yeah.
What else was there? Gosh. Things like that. In the end, I thought, well, I can manage to maybe get by, do really well in Spanish, and maybe I'll do okay. But I didn't
because
really
that,
do well in any of my classes. For the
that really became your passion, is Spanish.
It did for a while there. It did for a while. I still like it, but my focus has changed. So I went to Christopher Newport for a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
But I was this close to getting told leave, so I left before they could tell me to.
Yeah, because your grades weren't good and you were...
I think they were all like D's.
They were all... So you weren't excelling in anything but Spanish.
Not even that.
Not even that?
Nope, not even that.
Well, what were you doing? Socializing?
Playing on the computer.
Playing on the computer?
I was playing online a lot.
Playing online, and that became your focus?
For a while there, yeah. Just playing.
Because when you were online, no one knew you couldn't see.
Unless I told them.
Unless you told them, and if you didn't choose to tell them.
They just assumed I was a really bad typist for a while. That is one thing that being online did for me. It forced me to improve my typing skills.
Forced you to become a better typist. But
mm-hmm.
that's, once you kind of got onto computers, that's all you wanted to do was play online.
Mm-hmm.
Play online and speak Spanish. What a strange, that's funny.
Oh, yeah. It was.
Yeah, well, there are worse things people could do, you know, than those two things. So you left college with your tail between your legs. You weren't able to do their work, or you wouldn't do their work. All right. What did you came home?
I went home for a while.
Yeah, I've been there, and parents were very disappointed in you. You didn't.
And there was a lot of other family problems.
Yeah.
And so I ended up leaving and moving here.
So you ended up leaving, moving there.
Yep.
And you've been there ever since?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you did not go back to college?
Not for a while.
Not for a while.
I just started going last year.
Okay. What did you do in the interim period? After you left college, I assume we're up to probably the late 90s now. We're up to 97.
Yeah, I left college in, when did I leave?
97, 98 sometime.
97.
All right. And if you left, then you figured out, well, if I leave home now, I've got to figure out some way to eat, make a living.
Well, I just, SSI for a while there.
You did what?
SSI.
SSI for a while?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a tough go.
It is, but, you know, you can make it work.
You can. I've done it. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't something I wanted to do from then on.
Oh, no. That's what I've done for a while. And then, of course, I got the job in 2000.
What job is that?
That was working for the census. It was a temporary job.
Yeah, that census job,
mm-hmm.
which didn't last long.
It paid for the wedding.
Which, do what now?
It paid for our wedding.
Paid for your wedding?
Yeah.
You mean you had to pay for your own wedding?
Hey, I didn't mind paying for it. I really didn't. It was.
I always try to make the woman pay, too. That's kind of my thing. Every time I've been married, I've tried to make her pay for the wedding. I think that's... I even had one pay for the divorce. No, I'm kidding. I'm only kidding. I always ended up paying for the divorce. This time I married a lawyer.
Oh, okay.
So if I get a divorce, she'll really have to pay for it. Anyway, she's a sweetheart. I plan to be with her the rest of my life. And so you decided in just shortly after 2000 that you'd get married.
Actually, we decided that back in 98, but we decided to take our time.
To take your time. That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Now, does your husband see?
Yes.
Perfectly?
With his glasses.
Drive the car. Drive the car good enough.
I mean,
good enough to drive the car.
But we don't drive anywhere.
But you don't drive. Why is that?
Because we don't have a car. We just walk everywhere.
Oh, you just walk everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, I've been there, too. I walked all over Austin, Texas when I was... I was probably a little younger than you are, but I did an awful lot of walking.
Uh-huh.
So you have decided now to go back to college and get some education.
Yes.
Because you don't want to be stuck doing what you're doing the rest of your life.
Right.
All right. Well, that's a good decision. What are you... Well, you know, a bilingual person, which you are, doesn't the United Nations or those kind of organizations need bilinguals very badly? Aren't they looking for them?
They do, but I've decided that I want to do something different now. I still want to use my Spanish, and I'm planning to, but now what I want to do is I want to work for the Department of Defense in the public affairs section.
Okay, and that requires what sort of degree?
English journalism.
And so...
I learn about writing articles and... broadcasting and all kinds of things.
So that's where we are now, is taking journalism courses.
Mm-hmm.
There are worse things a young girl could be doing than taking journalism classes.
I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun.
So you finally found some form of education besides Spanish that you actually enjoy.
Mm-hmm. and that I know I can get somewhere with.
Yes, you can. There's no reason why you can't. Is this going to be a two-year degree or four-year or what?
This is four that I'm going for. I'm in my second year right now.
You're in your second year right now.
Uh-huh.
Did you manage to get some grants to help pay for this?
Oh, yeah. Almost everything.
Almost all your colleges.
Actually, everything's covered.
Your all your colleges covered.
Yeah.
You did this on the internet, I suppose.
No, I'm not quite sure how we did it. I think we used the internet for some of it.
Yeah, but you went to the college and they helped you do it, or how did that work?
I just let Eric do it.
Do what? No, I didn't.
Let Eric do it.
You said Eric is your husband?
Yeah.
You let him do it?
Yeah.
Well, that's what her husband's for.
Exactly.
If you
can't work and figure it all out.
I want to go to college and you figure out a way for me to do it. I'll talk to you in a minute. That kind of stuff, right?
Pretty much.
Well, what's wrong with that?
He's very supportive. We have a deal going that so long as I'm in school and I'm working toward getting a job that'll feed both of us, he'll be a good little house husband. And even when I do get a job, he'll still continue to be that good little house husband, which means I don't have to cook or clean.
Which means you don't have to cook or clean.
Yeah, really.
Well, does he work?
At the moment, no.
At the moment, no.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to cook or clean. You just go to school.
Yeah.
What a deal.
Yeah, it is a nice one.
It is a nice deal, and I salute him for doing that, because you get an education. You can make a living for both of you.
That's what I want to do.
That's the plan, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we are right now. We're working toward this four-year degree, and you're in the second, actually the second semester of the second year, right?
First semester, second year.
First semester, second year. Grades going good? Are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
I think at the moment I have a 3.1, I think.
3.1.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
That's pretty good.
Anything over 3 is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Well, it'll be it's good that you've decided. Of course, you could do what you're doing now the rest of your life, just live on SSI. And
I could, but I wouldn't be happy.
Draw your monthly check as being disabled. They'll let you do that, then you could do that the rest of your life. But no, you wouldn't be happy doing that. You need to aspire to do some other things, and you are. So. That's good. All right. Well, that brings us up to date with you, doesn't it?
Pretty much. I think you've covered everything.
Brings us up to pretty current. Well, you're dealing with this thing we call blindness, and that's what this show is all about, to show people that it can be done, and it's a difficult thing to do sometimes, but it can be done. And even as poor old totally blind people occasionally fall in love with a sighted person.
Oh, sure.
And that can happen. All right. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Why don't we do this? Why don't we go and maybe check back with you at about this time next year and see if you're still on track?
That's fine with me.
That would be a good thing to do, to kind of to see where you are and how your life is going, and if you're still on track, if college is still going well. That would be kind of a little update on Jane Jordan in about a year from now.
I'd be happy.
How
to
would
do it
be? Listen, if I forget. Email me. You have my email address, all right?
All right.
Good deal. We've been visiting with Jane Jordan, who is on her college, and we're going to let her go study. Thanks much, Jane.
You're welcome.
that'll take care of another little Blind Like Me show. Obviously, we're having some problems with shows running at the right time and all that sort of thing. This is due to the fact that there is no director now at ACB Radio, and they have not appointed anyone as a director at ACB Radio. And Dave Williams has other things to do besides fool with ACB, and he's not even the interim director anymore. He doesn't even do that. But he's helping them out some. So maybe all the problems will be resolved soon. I certainly hope so, and I'm sure you do too. I don't know where the archives are, but maybe it will all get solved soon. So my only suggestion to you would be to write or email ACB Radio and tell them that we have problems with ACB, or email or write the American Council of the Blind and let them know we have some problems with ACB Radio, and maybe those will get solved on down in the future. By the way, if you'd like to be a guest on the Blind Like Me show or the Blind Handyman show, you may email us at blindhandyman@txucom.net, or you can email me personally at philparr@txucom.net, or blindhandyman@hotmail.com, or just all kinds of addresses. But we need guests all the time, and we probably need you. So let us know if you'd like to be a guest on the Blind Handyman. Thanks again for listening. Why do I keep saying Blind Handyman? Maybe I'm hungry or something. Anyway, Blind Like Me. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.